Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Up on Gay presents Conversations with a Legend.
Around here, we hustle for a living. Around here, we grind for a living. Around here, we hustle for a living. Around here, we grind for a living.
Welcome into another exciting edition of That's Your Mama, ran by yours truly, his son. Nah, I'm joking. It's Up On Game presents Conversations with a Legend, and I got my man, the myth. Yes, he is the legendary, Simeon Rice, man. Appreciate you coming in, stopping by, giving a little bit of time, good brother.
I had to. My fellow Big Ten bro, state's finest. Why not?
Indeed.
Why not?
I mean, one of the greatest defensive players of all time, especially our generation, up for the NFL Hall of Fame. I'm calling it. I hope you get it. I'm certain you're going to get it at some point. But this podcast is not about talking about the football aspects of things. This is more so about where you are in life, the things that you're doing, to bring attention to lessons that you operate under based upon, you know, when we were coming up, based upon when we played. And that's what Up On Game Presents is, with Conversations with a Legend. So let's start right here. Know you from Chicago, ended up playing your ball, born and raised. I know you played your ball at Illinois as a Fighting Illini. Man, one of the dopest defenses, you know, with Dana Howard, yourself, Kev Hardy. I mean, just a who's who, a litter of just a flunk of just dope football players. That level of accomplishment and expectation, how did that play a part in your career to start off with? Like, because Chicago, people know Chicago hard knows. So How did that play into your mindset and just how that led into, you know, your college as well as your pro career?
Now, when you say that, I like answering specific questions.
Sure. How far from Illinois did you grow up?
Well, 3 hours.
3 hours. So, all right. So it was a little ways off.
So yeah, for me it was far. Yeah. And I never wanted to go to Illinois. I wanted to go to Notre Dame. Actually, I wanted to go to Florida State or Michigan, but they didn't recruit me. So,
wow.
Then I went to play Michigan. Yeah. So that's how that happened. And I was a running back, you know. So a lot of things that kind of like transformed itself. But I would say more of the transformative years with me growing up in football was a lot of the things that I took from off the block, the neighborhood, the community. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like I grew up around Vice Lords and Mickey Cobras. Mm-hmm. So when you go into these, when I went to Montcalm High School, Donovan McNabb, he was our quarterback, young quarterback. Yeah, D, he was our quarterback, but he was a second string quarterback and he was a young kid. Antoine Walker went to my high school as well. Him and Donovan, same high school basketball, all of that. So with me coming out early, you know, and I was a bit older. I was like two, three years older than them, actually. And me going to Mount Carmel, I think that's where it's the first start because okay. I went
legendary
there.
Legendary school.
I was recruiting. Yeah. We went state all 4 years. It was really good. I went there with the presence of mind of playing running back. I wanted to be just like Peyton. Peyton was my guy. You know, everything Peyton did, I did, you know, mm-hmm. the workouts, you know, and, you know, we had MJ in the city as well, but I wasn't really turned on by basketball, but that was kind of where I was kind of like having a lot of success, but I love football. I mean, mm-hmm. I loved it. My uncle was, got drafted early, you know, back in the 70s, you know, AC Clarence Ross, you know, he was that guy. So he turned me on to that game, but I really didn't like it. I love football. And okay. I thought I was going to be scoring touchdowns, you know. Uh-huh. When they moved me to defense, it broke my heart. I almost quit. But it was just one of those things. And then when I went started playing football, I think a lot of the things that ride on the football field was not getting pumped. It was the South Side of Chicago was the mentality I brought on the football field with. Like, you're not going to pump me, you know. The size doesn't matter. I'm taking on comers because when I first came out, I was the undersized. As they say, the undersized rush backer and what position I was going to play and things like that. So when I came in with a sense of urgency. So I had a legendary coach, Frank Lenny, and I learned everything from play football with your head and your heart, hit to the whistle. Football became life. It was more reflective of your family, the name on your back, the community you're from. And I was ingratiated with that early so much in life that it indoctrinated my thinking with it. So it was more than just playing football. It was always about sending a message, you know, and it was all about representing your family and yourself and God and everything else that was made of you. I'll never forget early on, we were going to play games and this is like my junior year and I'm on the varsity and I'll never forget before the game even started, we'll have our meeting mm-hmm. before the game and guys would be in that meeting crying and tearing. I'm in the back of the room and I'm laughing because I didn't get it. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is just a game. Why is everybody crying? And then, you know, you hear guys talk about my father just died. This is for him. I came out of this situation. This is for this situation. So they was dedicating all these moments that they were going to have with these memorable moments in their life. And it was so much that they brought on the field and we blasted everybody. We playing East St. Louis, one of the best schools in the country, beating those guys. And with all that in mind, I went from laughing to start picking some of this stuff up, mm-hmm. you know, start getting serious about the game. Like this football is a mindset. That's what I learned out of that. And then with me going to Mount Carmel and also from being from Roseland, South Side of Chicago, I brought all of those different aggressions on the field, and it played out. It played out perfect. It played out beautiful. I wasn't highly recruited coming out of Chicago. Didn't get recruited by all the schools that I kind of wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. I wound up getting Louisville. I went in to visit Louisville. It was Snellenberger was the coach.
Okay.
And I went in, and I was like, you going to let me play running back? Right. He was like, yeah. I was like
– What height were you at this point?
I was 6'4". I was like, he's going to be playing running back. He lying. Yeah. I was like, this is lying. then I went to Boston College, went to visit Boston College. And your coach. You was with the Giants, right? Giants.
Yeah,
coach.
I was. Who, what's Gilbright? Oh, Coughlin. Coach Coughlin.
Coughlin was a coach.
Sure.
And see, when I went on campus, I went, wow. So when I went on campus, I get to campus. I hook up with this little chick, Coach Coughlin, my defensive coordinator. I don't know if he came in. they set me down. They was like, when you come here, you're going to definitely red shirt, da, 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 this and that. And I was like, well, guess I won't be coming to Boston College.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of the guys that I looked up to was already at Illinois. And on my visit, there was a guy named Mickey Johnson, one of my teammates. He's like, what are you coming in at? I was like, a rush linebacker. He was like, that's my position. You're going to transfer. I was like, oh, all right. But I didn't think none of it. I didn't know what red shirt mean. I just thought it was dope. I wanted the red shirt. But then, you know, I didn't red shirt. I was a true freshman starting, you know, lit the world on fire. And I really didn't look back after that, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Now, again, you've been – I mean, obviously, I didn't even really think about Mount Carmel, but you've been blessed to be around pretty much stone cold ballers your entire career.
Yeah.
And being one, it isn't just like you was with them and you got the experience. You was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that work for you? Like how was that for you?
That's a good question, bro, because it's interesting. Cause looking back, our team in particular, our defense, we had the most shutouts and we tied for the most shutouts and for the history of Illinois football. You know, we shut out, I think, 10 teams. And no, 9 teams or 10 teams. And when we came off the field, the third team defense gave up a score, and that was the first time we scored. We would have broke the record.
Right.
And we wanted that record. So for me and my lineage in football, I was always a part of the number one defenses ever since I've been in there. So there's a factor to this. It's your boy. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
You,
I was
able
to
factor.
Get down on front. Yeah. I mean, from Illinois to going to Illinois, we going into prominence there. And keep in mind, I was looking at, when I left, I was looking back at you like, yo, what's the man you played with?
Courtney
that
Brown.
To the Brown. Yeah, Brown. You and him, y'all were hellraisers, bro, diving up. And I'm like, because I was like, I'm hearing so much. I'm going to get back to me. But I'm hearing so much about Penn State and the 10, because y'all beat us. You know what I mean? When we were doing our thing.
I mean, y'all was supposed to win. We came back on y'all, though. I wasn't there yet, but I was a fan of the game.
Yeah. So looking back, though, I'm like, all right, Penn State was always a thorn in my heel. You know what I mean? And then I'm hearing about this kid that's wrecking shop, and they were like, Seth, be just like you. His athleticism. I'm like, let me go back and look at this kid. Then I see you freak over the line. I'm like, then I was up. You know, if you are a really great pass rusher, you like pass rushing, you like athletic type defensive player, I mean, you were it.
That
you
was our deal.
That was your deal.
But y'all set the tone. You, Cav Hardy, y'all set the tone.
Yeah.
Y'all set the tone.
But I'm just talking about how it all kind of
come full circle.
Yeah. I wasn't watching Illinois. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't when I left. I'm not one of those alumni like, oh, I got to watch the school. I watch players, bro.
Okay.
And I watch you. And I watch you get down. And again, I never had the chance to tell you this, but I liked how you got down, bro.
Man, I appreciate that very much.
And you kept it going when you got to the league, which I was most not. It gave me ability to talk a little bit more shit. You know what I mean?
Because
the Big Ten. Yeah, you know absolutely. What it is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm down in Florida, and they think it's all about – I'm like, nah, bro. You know what I mean? They don't throw the ball like that in the 10.
Right.
So for you to be able to get down like that in the Big Ten, you really, really
you
thorough.
You got to be able to get
you only
it.
Get
yeah.
so many opportunities. That
you're
means
right.
you're crazy efficient. You know what
Man,
I mean?
Man, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is safe. It's a place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. For example, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GamePresents today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/GamePresents.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, so you giving me my props. I And it's one of the most humbling things when you hear somebody that you watched and you looked up to hail you up. But more importantly than the game, you have done something that very few do, which is you're enjoying your success and the things that you're doing post career. But yeah. if people were paying attention, they would have known that you were a personality that was transcendent of the game from day one. Yeah. You always been that dude that was overly charismatic and stuff like that. Tell us about where you're at right now and how all of those factors in playing the game, how have they played into what you're doing now?
Okay, so when I was playing, you know, I was committed. I was fully committed. I didn't have family. I had a son. But I was married to the game. I mean, I wanted to be the best of all time. I wanted to set the records. I wanted to do all those things. And then doing all those things, though, you play a long career. You know, I wanted to win a Super Bowl, did that. Mm-hmm. You know, all pros and all that, did all that. But I'm also thinking towards the end, I'm like, you know, I want to be very good. I want to have the ability to come. I want the same lifestyle, number one. You know, uh-huh. So lifestyle is necessary. So early on as a youngster, you know, you trying to do things. And I had, like, all my boys that I came up with. But, you know, they were ambitious for their reasons. I was ambitious for my reasons. And those ambitions didn't always line up. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I'm talking about is I'm talking about when you're carrying all the dudes that you went to college with, that mm-hmm. you grew up with, that you wanted them to be on. You want it just as bad as for them as they do. But then you mm-hmm. find out they just really don't want that bad. They looking at your pockets. They looking mm-hmm. at your black card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. want to be you. You know what I mean? You're like, oh man. So then, you know, you had that bit where you have to kind of distance yourself and you got to grow. And in that process, I never forget going towards the end of my career. I was like, man, can I ball at a game without my boys here? You know what I mean? I had my first situation. I'm driving the game by myself. I never forget how quiet it was. Get to the game. Player of the game, all that stuff. And I'm like, man, the show still go on. I'm still doing my thing. True. But yet it didn't have, I wasn't, there wasn't a celebration. I couldn't celebrate with my boys like it was when I was 22 coming out of college. That was the mm-hmm. fun part. Mm-hmm. But there was a certain level of maturation that had to happen. And in that process, I started, you know, looking at things I want to do. You know, I said, when I finish, I want to go to film school. When I finish, I want to make movies. I want to do things like that. And again, more importantly, you know, I think I'm sophisticated and understanding enough to know how to invest things. So mm-hmm. I want to get into that too. I don't know how. I don't have a real sense of direction. It's mm-hmm. not like football because it's not my outside of filmmaking, filmmaking is a passion of mine. But, you know, I don't really have a clear, precise target I'm hitting at like I did with football, because the passion is the thing that led me there. But it was like, all right, now I could do a more, a little bit more psychological in terms of like how you invest. So during that process, after I retired, I went to film school. You know, I went to film school. And prior to that, I was represented by CAA, and I had one of the largest public relations firms in the country that's out there in LA. And I sat down with those guys, and I was, you know, we kind of like pontificated. We talked about what's next for me, and I'm like, yo, I want to do this movie thing. So they set me down with Bruce Willis. I'm on the set of his film when he was shooting his film, and I'm sitting down talking to him about, you know, I want to direct movies. And all he did was talk to me about being in them. And I'm like,
I want to direct them.
Then I went and met with, what's my man name? Brett Ratner. And I went down when he was directing Rush Hour 3. And I met Jackie Chan, and he was, you know, childhood favorite, the Samurai Sunday. So I'm, you know, Jackie Chan and Chris Rock. I'm sitting down with those, not Chris Rock, Chris Tucker. Talking to him, chopping him up.
And I'm Chris like, Rock comes out pretty easily right now, though.
So I sit down with Chris, and I meet him for a bit, but I'm shadowing Brett on the set. And it's like a day or two. And I'm like, I'm not really learning anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. He bringing girls in. He introducing me to chicks. I'm like, that's all good, but I'm here because I really want to learn the craft.
I'm trying to get it, right.
So, yeah, I really want to learn the craft.
I got all that other stuff you do. Like, I did that. I got all that. I can help you out in that category.
Correct. And
true.
I'm like, you know what? I'm not being taken serious. You know what I mean? Like, you can get in the door. You can get in the door. LeVar Arrington is going to get in the door. People want to meet with you. People want to talk about your past laurels, all the things that you've done, the games that inspired you. Let me get us. They just want to meet with you.
Right.
If not anything else, just to talk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody taking me serious. I'm going to go to film school. And then my PR people and agents like, you don't have to do this, Sam. I'm like, I do. I want to start. I'm like, if I open a restaurant, I want to start off sweeping the floor. I want to know everything about the thing. I don't care about if I can circumvent the circumstance. I want the process. And then the process, I'm learning. So I enrolled in film school and went to New York Film Academy, and I was a student, and I was one buying all the pizzas. And that was my flex.
True.
All the pizzas in the class.
I could get the pizzas.
Things like that.
Like you was a rookie all over again.
Night. Yeah, it was fun for me. I was like, this is a cool process. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to be the oldest person in the school, in the class, and I wasn't by far. You know what I mean? You see people 40, 50 years old in film school, and everybody's there to learn. In this process, and we crewing up, and we doing things like that. We jumping on red cameras and all that stuff, and writing stories. And I started realizing, even with my professors, even when you go there, all your professors are giving you their resume at the same time, because have the ability to be funded
to hire them.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm learning, but I'm also understanding, like, because when you go into school the second time around, at this point in my life, it's like I'm only here because I want to be.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Nobody's making me.
No ulterior motivations. Yeah, football is not motivating me, and it's like school's over here.
Right. I'm here for what I'm here for. Here because I want to be here. So in that process, I'm like, I'm learning myself, and I'm like, man, I'm pretty good at storytelling. I'm like, I'm good at this. I'm good at writing out stories, doing our stories, creating short stories. My stories, like, with the students are like one of the best in class. I mean, for one, let's be honest, I could get all the production. You know what I mean? If we need the Ferrari, if we need a dope scene in the hotel, I can rent all that. So then, you know, and there's nothing to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, this, because all of it, they putting their pieces together. It's easy for me. You know what I mean? And then once you've invested over 10 years, 12, 13 years in the NFL, now you think about, like, oh, we need a scene in a coffee shop. Oh, I own a coffee shop or a restaurant. Oh, I own a restaurant in Florida. You know what I mean? Whatever, you're like, I could shoot it there. I could do this here, blah, blah, blah. My boy owned this bank over here. Like, we could get any scene we want.
Right.
So now I'm like, ooh, this is a puzzle. This is dope. You know what I mean? So now all I need to do is create the story, create the scenario.
And then put all the pieces in place.
Put all the pieces in place. So indeed. I was like, yeah. So I'm like, I could do this all day. This is fun. So
and
now
you
I have
did.
A passion for it.
And
yeah,
you did it.
I did it. Yeah.
And the title was?
Unsullied. Unsullied.
Unsullied. Right.
Yeah, Unsullied. Yeah.
Now tell me, what was it about? What inspired it?
What inspired it is I wanted to put I wanted to direct something, one. But what inspired that story in particular is I wanted to put a black female in a hero role where nobody had to come for, where she had to figure it out herself. Uh-huh. And when I was first pitching this, I was pitching around, and we wrote it. First, I wrote it, and I'm like, yo, I want to direct this. And I met with some of the Hollywood elites, and they loved the story. And they was like, yo, you wrote this? They was acting like I copied off somebody's work.
Right.
I'm like, yo, I wrote it.
Plagiarizing.
But the first thing I did that I had success with, where I was like, yo, we just sold that, was I partnered with Doug Ellen, who created Entourage. Uh-huh. And I sold a show called Hardwood to HBO.
Okay.
You know, and I met with Doug Ellen. First of all, I met with another guy, Brian Scherer. And this dude was so egotistical. So he was like an egomaniac. I'm in Hollywood, bro. You live there. You know what uh-huh. I'm talking about.
Oh, I get
about.
You. Yeah.
We in Kasuya, right? In a sushi restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So the meeting was set up by my PR guy. And they represent him as well. And when I got there, I sit down at the table. And I'm talking about this dude big time me on another level.
Wow.
Like super big time me. But I was so taken back that I found it entertaining.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So he was doing two stories. He was doing a story on Plaxico, you uh-huh. know, coming out of the yep. prison. And he was doing a story, I think it was with BET with Michael Vick.
Uh-huh.
So these are two guys.
All controversial.
And Vick is my guy. You know what I mean? First of all. But it's controversy.
Uh-huh.
So I'm telling him what I want to do in film. And he's like, you like all these other athletes that want to be in Hollywood and this and that. And he's very dismissive. I'm uh-huh. sitting down and he's being super dismissive. And I'm sitting here like, I ain't never had a little dude like this disrespect me
like,
on this level.
Flex on me.
Yeah,
like bad though,
and I'm super bad, and I'm laughing.
You athletes,
at the same time.
I hate that. I hate when dudes say
he did that.
You athletes.
So he started talking about Plexico and how he started himself and how he worked with Plexico on this documentary about this whatever TV show that Plex had going on. So I'm sitting here like, okay, and then he started talking about Vic, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing this thing with BET with Michael Vick, and that. So his getting his star rising back, coming out of jail and this and that. I said, well, listen, bro, I ain't never been in trouble with the law. You know, I'm hitting him with that. Like, I'm just trying to direct and this and that.
Right.
And then he's like, so what do you want to do? I said, I got this story. I'm pulling out my bag, all the stories we've written, treatments that I've written. He's like, I don't want to do this. Listen, Simon, I'm not going to work with you. So I was like, all right. Man, and then I'm laughing, but I'm serious. I'm like, man, you mad disrespectful, bro.
Right.
He goes on. The dude was crazy disrespectful. You guys don't know what you're doing. You don't. He talked about me. Then he started with you guys as a blank slate, abstract. Uh-huh. Then he went to me. Like, you know, you just want to be this. And he don't know me. We just meeting each other.
Uh-huh.
So I let him go on and on and on and on and on. And then I couldn't take him no more. And keep in mind, we got Denzel and we have the governor there at the time, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was in the restaurant. This dude talked so crazy to me, I damn near flipped the table over on him.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And I stood up. At this point, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't live here, and this ain't my world. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm only here to get game. And they said you was a good dude, but you mad disrespectful, so fuck you.
Right.
So I'm up on my feet. I'm like, man, who the fuck you disrespecting this and that? And then he like, you know, in the restaurant, the little waitress go away. I'm at him now. I'm like, bro, I showed you nothing but respect. You disrespected me for 45 minutes. I found it, I was laughing at it at first because I wanted to see how far you was going to go.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But I don't give a fuck. You know, then, you know, now all the shit that has been born in me since I've been a little kid, like, you
it's
don't let nobody
now.
Talk to you like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, bro, I don't give a fuck about none of this shit now. You know, this atmosphere is way too disrespectful.
Because people say you got to be submissive for people to want to deal with you in Hollywood. Like, it's like this whole thing.
I mean, I don't know about submissive, but I think
mean,
you should
they
be open.
Want, hey, bro.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Submissive, like.
That, submissive, like, take the way I'm talking to you.
No, enjoy it,
Simeon.
No,
enjoy it. Enjoy this.
Listen, bro, this ain't cocaine in my bag. This is a script. You know what I mean? This is business. Business is respect. Business
right.
is supposed to. I'm going to sell you this. And you're going to buy it for whatever the cost is.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to do business with me, yes or no. You know, that's it. You don't have to be disrespectful.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, he already had a preconceived notion of who he thought you were is what it was.
Yeah. He did. He went
so what happened?
Of all the fellas.
So how did it end?
When I went off, he's like, listen, calm down. I'm sorry. He started apologizing. And you know, I'm like, all right, bro, I didn't come here. I'm like, bro, we represented by the same person. I didn't come here. I didn't disrespect you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could have. You small in stature. I know I could beat your ass, but I ain't talk to you like that. I'm not.
Right.
I don't talk to people like that. You know what I mean? So this is what it is. So he's like, all right, how about if I do you a favor? I can, he's like, I have a roommate from college. You know who Doug Allen is? I'm like, no. You gotta know who Doug Allen is? I don't know him because I didn't watch Entourage at the time.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, let me do my home. You know, and he's like, all right, he's the executive producer of Entourage. I'm like, oh, damn. So he's like, I'm gonna get you him. And he called me at the table and was like, yo, I'm with Simeon. He's like, hey. And I was like, oh, damn, this dude sounds cool. And then he's like, take my number and give me a call. So I was like, damn, all right. He's like, don't say I've never done anything for you. I'm like, all right. He's like, but I don't want anything to do with it. I said, okay. That's what he told me. I don't want anything to do with your project. Bro, So I talked, me and my partner, we talking on the phone, my producer partner, we wrote it together. I said, listen, I got a meeting with Doug. He know everything. He live in Hollywood. He work as a producer out there. Let's do this. He's like, Sim, we got to do this. I'm like, bro, how should we drive up to the set? He said, we're going to, there's a final shooting of Entourage. So we going to like the party, the final week. So I'm like, how should we drive up? Should we drive up in a Ferrari? Should we drive? You know what I mean? Because you're like, you got to make presentations to these people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
it's Entourage.
It's Entourage. So let's drive up. Let's come on in. Let's flex. Let's look good. He comes here. I drive up, meet with him. First of all, I called him. And I was hesitant to call him because of the guy I met with. I'm like, I don't know, bro. These dudes be way disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in the business. He got away with that. I'm not in the business of disrespect. You know what I mean? Like, on no level. So I'm like, I don't know. He's like, Sam, just give him a call. Give him a call. So I give him a call. And the dude was the nicest dude ever. Nice. He was going to his son's baseball game. And like, I'm just giving you, like, he was a normal. He was like, yo, I'm going to my son's baseball game. I wish he was here. Where'd you go? I'm like, damn, this dude sounds cool as hell. And he was like, yeah, it's the final shoot. Why don't you come down? I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, just come down. Let us know when you want to come down. You know, we're shooting. We're going to be wrapping up the show. But it'd be cool for you to meet the cast and everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right, cool. So I get off the phone. I'm like, oh, dude, say you want blah, blah, blah. Jump in the car, drive the Ferrari, pick up my man. We go down to the set. And then I'm still hesitant. Like, man, I don't know. You know Hollywood, weird. They'd be like, let's do lunch and never talk. So I get there. And keep in mind, I talked to him prior. And he was like, everything's set for you. So we drive up. I'm still leery. And then the person let you in the gates. It's like, yeah, you're on, you know, the guest list, all that. Uh-huh. We sit down. Then when we got to the set, I went and sat with all the extras. Just because I'm like, I don't know where to sit. I don't, you know. Uh-huh. And then, but he was like, yo, waving, like, come over here. And I sat in the director's chair, and he's like, look at this. Tell me what you think. And I'm like, he's mad cool. Uh-huh. So he goes, what do you got for me? I was like, yo, I wrote this thing called Real Life Entourages of Super Celebrities. It was like a playoff Entourage, but it was like reality. And he's like, I don't want to do reality. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, what else you got? And I showed him another show I wrote, Heartwood. And he looked at it. And then the kid that plays Turtle on the set came over and was like, wow, what's this? He's like, read through it. I was like, you wrote this? I'm like, yeah. He's like, this is great. He tells him, he's like, yo, come here. Kid comes over, reads it. He's like, this is my next show. And then he left the set 15 minutes later. He said, he reads it 15 minutes. He leaves and is like, yo, I'm gonna call you in a day or two and see if HBO wants to buy it. I'm like, damn. So me and my boy with me, we sitting here and we like,
freaking out.
It was that easy. Right. You know what I mean? Like we wrote it that night. Like he was like, just write it. Let's write something else in case he doesn't like this. I'm like, oh, he gonna like this. And he's like, what's your price? So he wrote it that night. And that took us about 35 minutes to write. You know what I mean? But we made it laminate. We made it look like a real university. It was about five young men that went to not a high major, a mid major. And they blow up and they're in Kansas and all this and they become like the man and, you know, stimulate all of that. So he calls me a week later and was like, yo, HBO is going to buy it. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow. We sold something. We sold a thought.
Right.
Intellectual property. We That's sold beautiful. A thought. Yeah. I was like, yo, this something to this. You know what I mean? And then he called me 6 months later and was like, they just hired Spike Lee to be the showrunner.
Huh.
I wasn't excited about that.
Okay.
Because I didn't want it to be, it was going to be cultural in college, but I didn't want it to be that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want it to take on this like civil justice thing, your social justice thing. I just wanted it to be a fun story about kids in college. I was like, oh man, this is going to be, I'm not sick. He's like, you don't sound happy. I'm like, man. And he's like, they're not gonna let you show run it. So me, you know, never show it. You haven't done it. I'm like, but I know how this thing actually supposed to manifest. Uh-huh. So they bought it and he became the showrunner and that was it. You know what I mean? But from there, I was like, yo, we could do other things. So now I'm pitching a movie. And they liked the movie. I met with all these aficionados. They like, we like this script, we love the script. but we want to we're gonna cast it as, you know, a white. And I'm like, no, she gotta be black, because I wanted a fish out of water concept. I was like, yo, and I got four little sisters, and I'm like, they need a hero type character, and I feel like this is a hero type character for some, and it's put you in a role that most like girls wouldn't ever have, you know, being like the sole hero survivor of their own story that has nothing to do with anything urban. And I wanted to put a girl that was a former track female in a situation where she had to think her way out of it and solve a problem within her life, like a coming of age story, as well as being a thriller and suspense story all in one.
Wow. So you get it done. It's bought. What was the end result?
So, like, again, I'm meeting with these Hollywood execs. They like it. Then I'm like, yo, what's up? And it's like, you know, it's being greenlit, but we're going to change it. And I said, listen. And they were like, you're not going to direct it. So I'm like, yo, this is what I'm with the film school. Like, you think I could write it. Now you like the writing. You're not going to let me direct it. I was like, I'm going to do it myself. You know what I mean? So when I did it myself, they liked it. And I'm going to just say they, because I ain't going to put them out there, because who knows, I might have to use them again.
Okay.
But they were like, yo, we want to reshoot it with a different cast. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to put it out myself. And they said, you're never going to get this thing in theaters. I was like, I'll get it in theaters. And I got it in 268 theaters. Awesome. Didn't do well. Wish I wouldn't have went that route. I shouldn't have went that route.
But you did it.
That was more of an ego route.
Right. Yeah, but you did it.
I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. I should just.
That's what we do. The lessons are in our doing. Some people get their lessons by somebody telling them. People like us, we get our lessons by doing it. Like, I can't tell
so
you
much
how
much resistance to it. There was so much resistance to tell me what I couldn't do that I'm like, and it's not about proving them wrong. I was like, let me prove myself right. You know, the highest level of actuality isn't about thinking about anybody else. It's not about, you know, when I was younger playing football, I want to prove this, prove this. Yeah. Now it's not doubters. It's just about proving yourself right. This thing is about self. This is a self walk we got in this life. Anyway, the highest level of, you know, of thought is self actuality. So you're not thinking about anybody else in the first place.
Let me get this off you. This will be my last question to you, because this is a super important one, because I always want to have in the records with legends this answer for a perfect time in a perfect place. What on your final moments, or you cease to exist anymore, what do you want people to say about Simeon Rice at that point? What do you want your lasting legacy to be?
I think it's simple, just that I was a good person. You know what I mean? I want those that experienced me to have that. Those that are outside of my spirit, I don't care. I don't know how to care, you know, but within my spirit, within the people, my circle, I want those to understand that he loved deeply. He lived with a passion. Like Simeon, like there lies a man that lived with passion. You know what I mean? So when I lie there in my resting place and my body is there, but my soul is free, you will know that was a person that showed other people how to live with passion. You know, that's it.
Dope.
Yeah.
Simeon Rice, y'all.
Super Bowl champ. My
filmmaker. He's the aficionado, all right? I mean, he's the mogul. I'm in awe of the conversation. I think that these are conversations that our guys need to hear. You put your mind to it, you go do it. You put your mind to it, you go do it. Like the premise of your story, like you're telling all of these details, but do you realize you had to get up and start the journey to experience all of the things you just told us? And that is so powerful There's so many of us that just talk about it. I want to be a filmmaker. Still sitting there. I want to go do this. Still sitting there. To get up and do it. This is what this is all about. Is to drive home the message. Simeon Rice wanted to be a filmmaker. He didn't take the easy way out and leverage being a football superstar. He went to school. He did it. He got the cameras. They wrote the scripts. They did it. That's the key. You got to do it. It ultimately comes down to win, lose, or draw. There's always going to be a win, even in a failure, if you just do it. And that's just kind of what it is.
If you have a successful mind, I would say this. If you have a successful mind in terms of what you – we talk about like a growth stock. If you know who you are, like you're a football player. Growing up, we all – I'm a football player at one point. We both were. You know, like, and you've risen to a level. You have to have a relapse moment and remember how you got there. You know, you got to remember, like, wait a minute. I remember how I got here. It was I was willing to sweep the floor.
That's right.
In order for me to cook the food, I gotta be willing to sweep the floors in my own restaurant. Indeed. I can't be bigger than the moment. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Simeon Rice. This is my Conversations God. With a Legend, man. Up on Game Presents. Man, y'all been blessed with some jewels. Hey, man, all the way real, man. I appreciate you taking some time out for us. Anything you want to plug? Anything else you want to plug? Any websites? Any Instagram? Follow, social followings?
Simeon Rice underscore Simeon underscore Rice. But where I make my killing right now is in blockchain. I started two of the biggest companies in the world right now in blockchain. They did pretty well, you know, Riot Blockchain and TerraWolf. And TerraWolf is a good buy right now.
Make sure y'all check it out. I'm going to circle up with you. Talk to you about it.
You need to. I'm doing victory laps, my dude.
I know that's right. Keep living that dream. Keep being an example, man. I appreciate you coming on.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.